And verse number 15, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15. We come to the sixth commandment. The Bible says, very simply, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. The message of Exodus 20 and verse 15 is honesty. Honesty. Thou shalt not steal. Now, we could say it in a lot of different ways. Thou shalt not plagiarize. Thou shalt not have someone else punch the time card for you. Thou shalt rightly file thine income tax return. Thou shalt not go into my carport and take my leaf blower. And we could go on and on. Thou shalt not steal. Stealing is wrong. It's dishonest. It is taking from another what they have worked for. Hopefully that they didn't steal it and then you're stealing it from them. That would be double bad, would it not? Why should we not steal? Well, first of all, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. That's the top one on the list. Yet there is a deep-seated reason for not stealing. Stealing is against the very nature of God. Thou shalt not steal. God is pure. God is holy. And there is no unrighteousness in Him at all. Arthur Pink puts gambling in with stealing. I was interested in this. I wanted to share it with you. And if you think about it, I believe you'll see that he's right. Pink says, the man who obtains money by gambling receives money for which he has done no honest work and is therefore a thief. He takes what he hasn't worked for. And to be truthful, he takes from somebody who lost it. Thou shalt not steal. What is stealing? Stealing is taking another person's property. That includes cars and bicycles and money and all of that. We had the hardest time in downtown Grenada, Mississippi, keeping bicycles. For they would be stolen. One night, we heard a racket out in the carport. And TJ ran out and... Actually, that's when he broke his ankle, wasn't it? He went out, and when he went down into the carport, he broke his ankle, and there were some fellas with the front end of our automobile jacked up, stealing the struts off the front of the car in our carport! That is brazen. Brazen. Leviticus 19:11 says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. Don't deal falsely. There was a car dealer in Grenada, Mississippi, who used to sell cars to a certain farmer out in the county, and every time he'd sell the farmer a car, the farmer would say, man, this is a nice car. And the dealer would say, you know what, John, I didn't make a dime on this car. I mean, I didn't make a dime. Well, he dealt with him over the years. And one year, he saw that John had gone down to another dealership and bought a car. And so he looked him up and said, John, listen, you've dealt with me for years. He said, well, I just got to feeling bad about it. I've dealt with you all these years. You hadn't made a dime off of me. And I wanted to go where at least they'd make some money off of me. Well, I'll guarantee you this, that dealer made some money off of John. Amen. Just be honest. Just plain old be honest. Stealing is forbidden. In the law, we have already read that thou shalt not steal. The law recognizes the right, now listen, to private property. Now socialism, communism does not recognize that right. But the Bible recognizes the right of private property, of us owning the right and having the right to private property. Exodus chapter 22 and verses 7 and 8. Exodus 22 and verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, if a man deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff, things to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house, the man of the house, shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. See whether or not he stole it. Why? Because that belonged to the neighbor. If the thief's not caught, let's find out. Let's do some investigation concerning this private property. Some believe that over taxation taken from hard workers, necessary to support a welfare state, is stealing. What does the Tea Party stand for? Taxed enough already. You work for a paycheck and they take as much as 35 to 38% of your check. And who do they give it to? People who will not work. They rob from the worker to give to the shirker. I think that may be right. I believe in a sense that is stealing. It is. Tom Rose in the Presbyterian Journal wrote this, using the civil authority as an intermediary does not change an immoral act into a moral act. If it is wrong for an individual to forcibly take from others to provide for his needs, then it is wrong for him to use the power of government to do so. Isaiah 1:23 says, the princes are rebellious. The leaders, listen to this, the princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Bunch of thieves. They're companions with thieves. Everyone, listen to this from Isaiah. Everyone loveth gifts. Everyone loveth gifts. And follows after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth cause the widow to come unto them. They don't have your self-interest in mind. It's all about what will help them to get back into office. Do you believe that? Boy, I believe it. I believe it. In the New Testament, stealing is forbidden. Romans chapter 13, and beginning at verse number 9. Romans chapter 13, and verse number 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love, look at this, worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal his stuff. You're not going to do it. When Jesus was dealing with the rich young ruler, dealing with him, he said in Luke 18:20, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not steal. It's a Bible principle. In the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter, and verse number 18, of course, we're dealing with the same person here that Jesus is dealing with. Let's go back up to verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. He's pointing to himself in that statement. In other words, Jesus is pointing to the fact he is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You say, now, what are you trying to point to here? Well, number one, thou shalt not steal. Number two, keeping the commandments will not save you. Nobody's ever been able to do it. Nobody's going to be able to do it. There is none good but God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all as an unclean thing. We're all wicked. You say, I've been a good person all of my life. Your goodness will not save you as it did not save the rich young ruler. I don't want you to steal. I don't want you to bear false witness. I don't want you to do any of that. But even if you could keep the Ten Commandments, you would go to hell. But you can't. For by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, why do people steal? Why do they steal? Well, people steal to meet the necessities of life. There are countries where children and adults do not have sufficient food nor clothing to meet their needs. Let me ask you a question. If they steal for food and clothing, are they justified? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 30 as well as verse number 31. The Bible says here, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Hey, why would it put that there? Because stealing is wrong. If somebody steals for bread to eat, steals bread to eat, we have sympathy, but that doesn't make it right. Stealing is wrong. The Bible points that out. The Bible also teaches that if someone steals something, if somebody robs you, there is to be a restoration of property. A restoration of property. Leviticus chapter number 6, and beginning at verse number 1. Leviticus 6, and verse number 1, we're going to read several verses here. Leviticus 1 and verse number 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor, and that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, tells a lie, and sweareth falsely in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein. Verse number 4. Then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found and didn't turn it back over, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add interest, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. Now, we don't go to the priest. We confess our sin directly to God through our advocate, through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We know that. Verse 7, And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. The Bible teaches restoration. People today, they steal, they do, they whatever, and there's no restoration in most every case. They go to a prison and they learn how to hone their craft. And they get out and do it again and again and again. People steal because they are lacking moral standards. That's why I believe the Ten Commandments ought to be posted on every schoolroom, public, private, everywhere else in the United States of America. People steal because they do not have a moral standard. When a baby comes into the world, he does not come in, or she does not come into the world distinguishing what is his or hers and what belongs to another. All of my children, whatever toy there was, wherever they were at your house or my house, it's mine. Amen? Mine. And they would hold on to it. If one of the other kids came over and tried to get it, then there was a small fight that broke out. I mean, that's nature. That's the nature that we have. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. They do that automatically. You have to teach them to do right. You must do that. As that child grows, his parents and teachers help him distinguish between what is his and what belongs to somebody else. If he grows up without teaching in the home and in school, then he thinks it all belongs to him. Under normal conditions, a child gradually comes to understanding ownership and learns to work for what he gets. He works for privileges, or she works for opportunities to go with her friends, whatever. Begin to understand ownership of what is really hers or his. But children who are not taught that stealing is wrong will be more likely to steal. That makes sense? If there are those in the house or in the neighborhood who continually steal, they will feel little or no guilt if they steal from others. There are whole neighborhoods in certain places where it's a way of life, it's a way of passage to go and steal somebody else's stuff. Amen? Oh, me. There's a breakdown. There's a breakdown. Those who are taught right, those who know the commandments and know the Scripture, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word teach there, and don't throw me out the door, it's a word that means to catechize. It means to teach the principles of the Word of God. That's what it means. The rich young ruler, as we saw, I believe was a morally good man. He was. Somebody had taught him. He had learned the morals of Scripture. And morals are good for everybody. I believe that. But morals will not save you. Titus 3:5, what does Titus 3:5 say? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. I believe sometimes that people hide behind their morals and their goodness. The only hope is Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, and who rose again the third day according to the Scripture. People steal because of a lack of spirituality. They have a lack of spirituality. They're not spiritual. And because of that lack of spirituality, their morals are low and their standards are low. And those are closely related. The lack of spirituality and low morals fit together, and that's sad to say. Now, it does matter whether or not a person is saved. It's important. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He has the Holy Spirit teaching him through the Scripture and guiding him and showing him right from wrong, along with what he has been taught. When a person is in close fellowship with the Lord, he's not likely to be a crook. And if he or she is satisfied with what God has given them, then he or she is not likely to steal. Well, how do you get that together? Fellowship with the Lord and not... Well, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content. Trusting God. Looking to the Lord. Believing that He will take care of you. Just like He said that He would. And we quote the godliness with contentment is great gain, and we believe that. That's verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me read verse number 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. There are some things that I collect. Do we have any collectors here that like to collect certain little things? I mean, I collect some things, a few things. For a long time, I collected Coke bottles. I've kind of no room to put any of those now. But I did. I went all over the country. And at Moscow Mills, bought several bottles there through the years, you know. And I buy these Coke bottles that are imprinted with certain activities or celebrations or commemoratives or whatever. And I collected those things. That's okay. And they were helpful in me being content, but I don't have to have that to have contentment. The things of this world, and here's what I'm saying, I'm not going to take any bottles with me. When you come by my casket, Denise is not going to line the bottles up in there. And if she put the books in there, then we'd be, you know, I wouldn't be smothered, I'd already be dead. But we'd be covered. You know, there's some things we collect, but those don't bring contentment. And you can't take it with you. That's what the Bible says. But then in verse 8 it says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. One of my boys has had the same clothes, basically, for years. He doesn't like getting a lot of new clothes. He likes what he likes. He wears it until it slap wears out. Anybody like that? I mean, you got something? Yeah, okay. There's some here. I mean, you're content with it. I mean, it's what you got. It's okay. Then there are those that every week they've got to go and find something new. You know, got to buy something new. Got to have something new. Got to have blah, 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 blah. When I get the urge, I go to Goodwill. I love Goodwill, don't you? I do. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Having food and raiment, having a shirt on your back, food on the table. One of my professors in college, Brother Charles Cloyd, now in heaven, Brother Cloyd said, boys, and he lived frugally. He would take trips to a different part of the world, and for months and months before he would go, he'd eat celery. Celery's just a zero. You know, he wanted to lose some weight and save money. And he'd do that. But he said, boys, he said, you can't sit but in one chair at a time. You can't lay but in one bed at a time. He said, if you've got two shirts, sell one and buy a book. Oh, I took him up on the last one. But really, why do you need, and I'm not trying to get on anybody's toes, but why do you need an 8-bedroom house when it's just you and Mama left around? A lot of folks don't build or buy a big old house until the kids are all grown. Have you seen that happen? I mean, you don't have to have it. I mean, God led us with contentment. God is not against you having nice things. He's against things having you. And that happens many times. People lose spirituality over things. Something we must be careful about. We need to be watchful about. There are those who do not feel that gaining property is wrong. But when they come to Christ, there's a change in their heart. Remember Zacchaeus? You know how Zacchaeus made a living? Zacchaeus made a living by scraping others. He made a living by taking above and beyond what the real charge was. Is that right? That's what he did. Those that lack spirituality do not feel the need to gain lawfully. But those who are spiritual, they do not want to steal from others for gain. They want to be just. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, The half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." You know what that's evidence of? Salvation. And you know how fast he came down that tree? He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down. For I'm going to your house today." He came down so fast. What kind of tree was it? Sycamore. How much bark is on a sycamore tree? He skinned it all off and it never has grown back. He slid down the sycamore tree. But there was a change of heart, amen? So a lack of spirituality. And I think that's what we see in America. People do not have the spirituality to keep their hands out of other people's pockets. And I believe that's in Washington, D.C. I do. I see that. I do. The need of spirituality is great, and that's why we preach the gospel. Folks need to know the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and trust in Christ who died for sinners, whom the grave could not hold, who arose the third day according to the Scripture. They need to know that. They need to hear that and trust in Christ alone. People steal to gain status and to gain friends. By having extra money, stolen money, he or she feels big because they've got money. An adolescent girl might steal to buy a coat or something to impress her friends. There are those who do that. A child may steal candy, even from home, to give to others so she can gain friends or he can gain friends. That's stealing. Those who steal, anyone who steals, ought to be ashamed of stealing. Thou shalt not steal. Jeremiah 2 and verse 26 says this, "As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets." Why? Because they were wrong. They had done wrong. But friends, the Bible says, as the thief is ashamed. How many times have you seen it on the news or seen it in the newspaper? A fella is caught, and what does he do when they put him in the police car many times? Why? Shame. When we steal, we ought to be ashamed. Well, a man robbed God. Well, you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Well, in tithes and offerings. Tithing is right. And you will live better on the 90% left than you could on 100%. God will bless that. He always has. Another reason for stealing is in our day and age, gang activities. Gang members steal because their gang leaders pressure them to do so. You say, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, I think it is. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10. You think there are gangs of sinners? I think there are. The Bible says here in Proverbs 1, beginning at verse number 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say," if the gang of them says, "Come with us, let us lay wait for blood." We're going to kill somebody. "Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause." Just kill somebody. "Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit." Pretty strong, isn't it? That's strong. We shall find all precious substance. How are they going to find it? They're going to steal it. And we shall fill our houses with spoil, stolen goods. And then join our gang. Look what it says. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. We're going to put it all together. And then it says in verse number 15, listen to me. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. And make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own life. You know what that's saying? The chickens are going to come home to roost one day. So stay away from the gang activities. You say, well, nobody here would do that. Hey, I've known some good kids that got mixed up with the wrong crowd. You know, there was a parakeet one time who he always wanted out of his cage. I mean, wanted out of his cage. And one day they didn't shut his cage good and he got out and he one of them talking parrots. A bunch of old crows were around the house, and an old farmer, his wife had the parakeet, and he'd shoot some of them. You know how you do? Shoot, get them one half. And one day, Petey, the parakeet, he got out, and he was up there with the crows. The old farmer couldn't see well, and he just boom, 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 scattershot. Petey came flying down, just rolling down to the ground, and the farmer walked over and Petey laid back on his little back and said, "Wrong crowd, got shot. Wrong crowd, got shot." So, if you get in the wrong crowd, you're liable to get shot. That can happen. Poor little Petey. Terrible. Some feel that their stealing is not personal. So it's not immoral. I'm stealing it from you, but you don't need it. And I've heard people say that. Well, they didn't need it. It doesn't matter whether they need it or not. It's theirs. It's theirs. Then in our day, there are those who are stealing for drugs. Drug addiction. A sign of the end time. The word witchcraft many times in the book of Revelation is a word that stands for drugs. Pharmakia. And so drugs is a sign of the last days. People hooked on drugs. Steal. You know what they steal from the farmers? They go out there and get that ammonium. Or what is it, John? Ammonium. And they get that, and what they do is they use that in processing meth. I mean, they're stealing. Now they're breaking into drugstores to get oxycodone and other things, oxycodone and different things. They steal because of the lust of the flesh. That's really what it is. Being hooked on it. And what happens is you lose yourself in the drugs. You know, a beautiful woman from years ago who had, I mean, she was just really pretty, but she got hooked on meth and her teeth began to rot. Her facial figures, you know, features began to change. And she is an ugly, ugly woman. Now that's sad. But people will give up their life and steal from others for a drug. The Bible teaches us that stealing is not to be tolerated by the Christian. Not to be tolerated. Ephesians 4:28 says this, "Let him that stole steal no more." There must have been some in Ephesus. Now they're saved. Now they're part of the church. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. One reason we need to work is so we'll have what we need and have something to give somebody who is truly in need. That's important. We need to be able to help those who are truly in need. I could tell you some stories about people with the signs, you know. I'm hungry, I'm stranded, I'm this, I'm that. I've had some really good conversations with some of them. But there are people who are truly in need. And be sensitive to them. Be sensitive to them. The Bible teaches us that stealing is wickedness and is to be forsaken. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he shall have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Bible says that the habitual thief will not go to heaven. It's what the Bible says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, those that continue in that lifestyle, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, nor drunkards, and on it goes. The Bible says in Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Don't steal. Stealing's wrong. Thou shalt not steal. I believe what I've preached to you tonight is the truth. There are those who steal from you and I all the time. They steal your livelihood. I am truthfully, and I'm not going to make a real big political statement here, but this economy cannot go on like it is with everybody who is working having to pay for people who will not hit a lick at a snake. It can't go on. So let's pray that folks will get up. And let's pray for America. But I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you and for me that we will be the standard that God would have us to be to others. Amen? To do that. And then you're here and lost. The rich young ruler could not get into heaven because he was a good person. And I don't believe he ever made it. But I like what was said of that fella in the temple. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Just an old publican. Saw himself as unworthy. Pharisee didn't. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't let that be a roadblock. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And I believe that's to make Him known in your heart and make Him known to others. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy path. Brother Wayne.